to death by the Aka Indians in Ecuador as they attempted to reach the tribe with the gospel. Elizabeth Elliot, Jim's wife, would later live among those natives and share Christ. Over the years, many missionaries came to the small Montana church my dad pastored and shared remarkable stories of how God opened doors to share the gospel in difficult and sometimes frightening places. As a child, hearing their amazing stories, I quickly ascertained it wasn't for me, but I gained great respect for those heroes of faith who are called into difficult missions. I'm happy you're joining in for another segment of Queen Esther's journey. She was a hero of faith. On the day Queen Esther was granted clemency by her husband, King Xerxes, twice he had asked her for two things. One, her petition, a formal request for an action by an authority. And two, her request, an expressed need or desire for something. She had yet to answer. A lot had happened since yesterday's banquet. Queen Esther's cousin Mordecai had been honored by the king, much to the chagrin of their enemy Haman. His plans foiled, Haman was teetering precariously toward ruin. Even his fan club told him he was toast. But before he had time to wallow in his humiliation and plot a way out, the king's eunuchs came to his home and hurried him off to Esther's second banquet at the Shushan Palace in Susa. His earlier ostentatious demeanor was no doubt replaced with trepidation. The king, while enjoying an after-dinner wine, asked Esther again for her petition and her request, and reiterated his promise to give her anything she asked for, up to half his kingdom. Wouldn't Xerxes be growing impatient by now? Perhaps. But we know he threw long, lavish parties. We had seen a glimpse of his political style, party while making allies and planning wars. Sort of a twist on the saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. An out-of-context, loose interpretation from Isaiah 22:13. Notably, Esther had been queen for 5 years, and the king still brightened at her presence. She had learned a great deal about her king and earned his respect as a wife who understood the nuances of his political arena. The time had come to answer her husband, and she addressed him formally as her king. If I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. What? This must have set the king back on his heels. For certain, she had his full attention. But he heard her out. Hear her wisdom as she establishes her petition, worthy of the king's time and attention. For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. Her concern wasn't for herself, but for her king. Losing his queen would deeply distress the king. That had to have struck a note. But this, who would presume to usurp his authority and kill his queen? Who is he? King Xerxes demanded. Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing? It's the moment of truth, and Esther does not hold back. She boldly states, the adversary and enemy is this vile Haman. Likely Haman's reaction confirmed his guilt. The Bible says, Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Here's where we leave Esther today, but her count isn't over yet. God had a far-reaching plan in which Esther played a vital role. Ezra and Nehemiah, both Jews in Persia, were on mission within the next 30 years. Might they have been Queen Esther's contemporaries? Might they have been killed if Esther hadn't acted? Their accounts are told in the Bible books bearing their names immediately preceding the book of Esther. What does it look like for us to be on mission? Since my youth, I have come to realize that being on mission is for everyone called by His name. Whether God tells us to be heroes of faith within our shores or beyond them, we are commissioned to be His disciples. Jesus gives us the conditions of discipleship in Matthew 16:24. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The mission field is this fallen world. We know God will allow evil to touch our lives. Real life fills our stories with villains and heroes, success and failure, grief and sorrow, and laughter and joy. We also know that God reveals His power through our brokenness. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Our stories then become part of our mission as we relate to others and share Jesus with them in natural ways, ways God created in us. And like Esther, only God knows the far-reaching part we each have in His plan. Let this acrostic for mission be our prayer. Lord, may I see souls in other nations saved, and may I see souls in our nation saved. In Your name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. If you want to check out more podcasts just like this, you can go to bethel.ch and you'll find amazing selections of podcasts and much more. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can email us with podcasts@bethel.ch. See you next time.